Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees.
All right. Welcome to the community of faith. Good evening. Blog Talk Radio, we're glad to have you with us wherever you are around the world. I am more fired up today than I've ever been about the things of God. And never have I had the platform like I have today. Thank God we have a platform. Thank you, everybody, for helping us create this wonderful platform. And Blog Talk Radio, we're glad to have you with us. I encourage every one of you on Blog Talk Radio, like seriously, share this with everybody you know. Share it with every nation you know. Help us send this message on Blog Talk Radio to every nation in the world. Everybody that it's here, grab that Blog Talk Radio link. And just send it all over the world wherever you can send it. Why? Because it gives us the ability to preach the gospel. We don't have audio. You don't have all that other problem with it. You don't have video, I mean. And it has the ability to reach a long ways. And that's that link that are with us in the community of faith. I put it in the family thread. You can see that link in there. Send that to people. Maybe that's a better thing to send out because when they click it, they don't see all the rest of us and they just get to listen, right? Because Jesus is coming very soon. The reason you and I are not freaked out on the inside is we know what, no, it doesn't matter what Russia and Europe do, we're going to heaven. This is all done. And we will be watching this from heaven. And here's the thing. We've got to warn people that Jesus is coming. And nobody on the face of the earth, no government entity can stop the prophecy of the Bible from coming to pass. Nobody. And Jesus was so specific about end times event that he said, let no one deceive you. And Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Now, I am not ready to talk about it. When you come back tomorrow, I will be ready to talk about it. And I'll have my Bible in order. I'll have my current events in order. And we'll make a program so you can see where we are. Tonight, we're going to do a different thing because Brother Dan's been working on a teaching with me, and it's on hope. And I really believe that it is absolutely appropriate for this hour right here, right now, today. So we're going to take about 5 minutes. We're going to pray our opening prayers, make our declaration about the church. And we're going to come back, and Brother Dan and I are going to tag team all night long.
Hallelujah.
On this message of hope. Now, Matt grew up in a Catholic school. He's never been taught about the rapture, right? Because they don't teach about that. Because now when they start teaching you, they got to make you come to an understanding that there's a lot in the Catholic Church that's out of order. But we've got... A week ago on Sunday, we taught a lot about it right out of the Bible. And it's a good program to go back and listen to while you're hammering down the road doing something. And then the Book of Revelation with Dr. Hilton Sutton is a good thing to study. And those are all on a YouTube link we can send you also, Matt, where you can study that. And the greatest thing is just be born again, because then when all of it happens, you're out of here.
Amen.
Now, that's it. I'm done. Come back tomorrow, and I'll have a greater message. Or who knows? Maybe in the middle of the night when I get it all organized, I'm going to just go live. And when you wake up in the morning, it'll be there. I honestly don't know how to sleep. I don't know how to sleep. It's not that, that is not an exaggeration. You're not necessarily
it.
I understand where we are. I see it. And it's like, how can you go to sleep when you have the ability to sit down in front of that camera and make another video that you can send to somewhere else and reach another group of people somewhere else doing something else, helping another group of people? You don't need to freak out. Jesus is coming, and you're going to be out of this mess. And
if you
believe in Jesus, you've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to make that prayer of salvation where you say, Jesus, I make you Lord. Come into my heart. Matter of fact, this is not our time when we normally do it, but just pray the prayer with me right now. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I know I need you.
I know I need you.
In my life every day.
In my life every day.
No matter how many times you've prayed this, pray it again. So right now tonight.
I
say, Jesus.
I say, Jesus.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Fill every part of my being.
Fill every part of my being.
With who you are.
With who you are.
I receive you by faith.
I receive you by faith.
Through grace.
Through grace.
And Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in
understand the word of God.
Understand the word of
pray
God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Well, now, it's time to say our prayers. When you just prayed that prayer, you just prayed the prayer of salvation. What just happened is God just came and filled your whole being. Some of you, I can tell, some of you right now, you're like, wow, man, I'm experiencing, something's going on the inside of me. Yeah, it is. What's going on the inside of you is God Almighty is filling you with all of himself.
Amen and hallelujah.
And you might be like, I don't even know how that's possible. Yeah, neither do any of the rest of us. But it's that same statement that has been made for years by men and women of God. It doesn't make sense to your mind how this is possible. There's just no way of denying it just happened. Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just came to live in you, so faith is in you. Jesus, the light of the world, has just come in you, so light just filled your being. Jesus, who was the perfect example of righteousness, just came to live inside of you. And now you're filled with righteousness, which just drives out all unrighteousness. That is what just happened with you. And Jesus came so that you could be reconciled to your relationship with the Father, who was the one who put you in your mama's womb when the egg and the sperm came together. And God said, I'm going to put this little spirit out of heaven right down in there. That's Jeremiah chapter 1, Psalm 139, Psalm chapter 1. You ready? It's time to pray. I'm not preaching. Dan is. I need everybody to pray for Sister Leanne. She is not stopping me from getting just totally wound up tonight. It's her assignment. She's sitting over here saying amen. What do you think this is all about? And if you guys, if you're new, Leanne and I have a perfect relationship, and we joke like this all the time. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to get on here and berate my wife and then act like she ought to love me. Are we ready? Have I said enough?
Yeah, I don't know. You're
probably too much, right?
Go ahead. You're all right.
I'm all right.
Yep.
It's time to pray. Father, we pray this prayer today
as children, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. Receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today.
In Jesus' name
we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Hey, Dave Billiard's with us.
Hi, Dave.
Bless you, Dave. Love you, brother.
Are you going to Looney's tonight?
What?
For dinner.
And now, this is the story of the big snowstorm. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. And now the commanded blessing of unity. Remember, when we say these verses out loud, God Almighty is ministering revelation to us. We are ministering angel food to the angels, and we're setting in order the atmospheric realms of the realm of the Spirit to be in obedience to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Ready? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And now the fivefold ministry and the body. I'm here tonight as a fivefold minister. I'm in the office of an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, and an evangelist tonight, because I just threw out the net to get people saved. That's what the evangelist does. An apostle is someone who is sent. I have been sent to this Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio Live. I've been sent here to teach a message. And I'm a pastor and a teacher. The only thing that's left is the prophet. And that's a pretty high-level office that I'm not seeking. Let's read it. And let's proclaim it. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now pause. All of us, including me, are in verse 12. I am a fivefold minister, but Dr. Barclay is my fivefold minister. And so when I sit under his teaching, I'm one of these saints that's getting equipped in verse 12. So, yes, I am a fivefold minister, but I'm also a saint like you. Here we go. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is the result, that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every swirling wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others, Lord. Now, Father, we pray for a revival in the legislative branch. We pray for a revival in the judicial branch. We pray for a revival in the executive branch of our government. If you don't know where that's found, I believe that's Isaiah chapter 32, right? I believe that's where it is. We ask for revival, Lord. These vile, wicked, perverse, corrupt politicians have absconded their positions into our government. And we say it again right now. Get out of our offices. You are wicked, perverse men, and you don't belong there. And we are the boss, and you are fired.
Amen.
Get out of our offices in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, I know where those verses are. I'll find them. And right now, we're just going to keep going. Father, bless our peacemakers, wherever they may be today, around the world. Bless our men and women that's in the streets tonight in the police force. May every police chief, every captain, every lieutenant, look at their leaders and say, we will not be corrupt against our nation. May our generals and officers in our military look at our president and the leaders trying to get him to do wrong and say, we will not fire on our own American troops, our own American people, and may the great patriotism of this nation, one nation under God, indivisible, stand up and drive back this force with the holy word of God. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And we stand in that great faith tonight in the name of Jesus. Here's our last prayer, at least for the next 5 minutes. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King,
forgive us
of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, you might say, Pastor, what if this lasts another 50 years? Well, I don't see any way possible for this to last another 50 years. But if it lasts the next 50 years, which that doesn't make sense to me, by the Bible, you and I are going to be the craziest group of evangelists this world has ever seen.
Amen.
And if it lasts for 50 more years, we're going to go to heaven with a billion people going with us, because we ain't stopping until we reach the whole world.
Amen. And stand in Psalm 91.
And stand in Psalm 91.
Every day of your life.
Every single day. Every time you go to the gas pump, stand there. Dan's probably going to talk about it. Stand there and hold that gas as you're putting it in your car and say, tank be full, tank be full, tank be full. Because Lady in 2 Kings chapter 4 poured that little vial of oil and poured it 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 and poured it. Not only did she pay off all her debts, but she became an oil baroness and selling burial oils for people over that whole region. And she and her son, both of her sons, lived on it for the rest of their life, a miracle of God. And that's what we're supposed to be seeing in these end times, is that level miracle. Go to your cupboard and just look in there and say, food stay and multiply. Well, it will. And manna fall from heaven, and food come to me, and provision come to me from the most amazing places.
Yep.
May the wicked heap it up, store it up, and put it in my hands to preach the gospel.
Yep. You know, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 around you. It should not come near you, because you made God your Lord.
This Sister Fran said it, said this. I think we need to be internet criers.
Yeah.
Of like the doomsday person is on the corner uptown in warm weather.
Yeah.
He's a Vietnam vet, and he tells everyone Jesus is coming, repent and be saved. His car has stickers with everything on it. People laugh at him. Others give him a thumbs up. And listen, if you are that person, just don't be a weirdo. Stand there with your signs and say, Jesus is coming. And love and hug every person that comes up and talks to you. Tell them how much you love them. When you start looking at people and saying, you're going to hell, and you got that, and you got the wrong message.
Yeah.
I know a group of those people that were just like that in one city in northern Michigan, that when people would pull up at the stoplight, they would throw Bibles in the windows of the car in the summer if you had your window down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got a Bible in the car, but I don't think they're going to go home and say, oh, wow, look at this. I got a Bible. I mean, there might be a couple people.
No, they're just going to remember the freak throwing it.
They're going to remember a freak that threw a Bible when they didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
But if you stand there filled with the grace of God,
yes.
In Jesus' mighty name. All right. That was a very difficult 15 minutes. Tonight, Brother Dan and I are going to tag team preach. I like the thought of it.
It is cute. This is going to be awesome.
And Brother Dan's been working on a message on hope. We're just going to go back and forth tonight. So we encourage all of our Zoomers, make sure your mics are off. And if you bump the button, don't worry, we'll bump the button on our end. But that's not because we're trying to silence you. We're just keeping it working the right way. Let me remind everybody how this works. I'm glad to have you on Zoom with us. We're even glad to have you say amen. All right? However, the person that makes the biggest noise is the one who gets to be the picture on the screen. So if in the background you turn your mic on and you knock a plan off the table, then everybody in the world's going to hear it and your screen's going to come live and they're going to see you and what you're doing. So the point is, on our end, Sister Leanne and I keep our finger on the button that just keeps everybody muted, all right? But don't let that freak you out. We're not trying to stop you from being a part of the program.
Right.
That just keeps the noise level down. Sometimes you guys don't even realize that it's on, and who knows why it comes on. We don't really even care. We're just going to click the mute all, and then the next time you come back, if you're going to say amen or something, click end there, and we'll make it work. If you have a question, put it in the comments. After about 10 or 15 minutes of teaching, we'll work that question right into our message, and we'll answer that question from that point of view. And it's just going to be a great time together in the things of God. So let's open our Bibles. Let's do this first. YouTube is up.
It is?
Been up for about 5 minutes.
All right.
I truly apologize. YouTube is alive and well. Blog Talk Radio is live. Facebook is live. And for those of you that are interested in going to a next level of discipleship and helping us to disciple people, God's given me a plan. And I would like to talk about that once the program is finish this evening and share with you. And just begin to work on it. We're going to have to build it and make it work, but it's going to take us to the next level where we got to be in helping people be discipled. And so stop by Zoom. Let's go now to Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. Romans 12, I'm going to get there yet. Everybody hang out. I'll catch up.
Does that mean I need more caffeine now? Thank you, Professor.
I'm telling you what, guys, that 40-day fast, I broke the power of sugar and coffee in my life. You have never met such a happy man in all of your life. I am so happy. Thank God for him. Let's hold our Bibles up. We'll make our confession tonight. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great
I am. The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of
God. Is making, my resident teacher.
My resident teacher
is making His Word come alive.
Is making His Word come alive
in my life tonight.
In my life tonight,
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of
and
God
and plant Him as a seed.
And plant Him as a seed
in the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my
producing
heart,
producing a
hundredfold
in
return
in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. The Bible says you get the fruit of your lips. That's the fruit of our lips that we're going to get. I like it. Now, here we go. Look at this. Romans 12. I'm not preaching. I'm reading. Verses 3-8. For I say through the grace given to me, That matches Ephesians chapter 4. Everyone who's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to thought, but think of himself soberly. God has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. As we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. That's not the office of prophet. That is, speak a word that is being seen. In proportion to your faith. Ministry, let us use it to minister. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who leads, he who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Tonight, Brother Dan is going to be flowing in his gift right now as a minister and ministering and as one who teaches and teaching. And he's bringing it to us tonight according to the gift of God that is on the inside of him. So I introduce you tonight to our brother that doesn't need an introduction, but a mighty man of God for many years, walking with God, establishing his life, establishing his family and the things of God. And as long as Dan and I can remember, we've been going to church together, like way back then. And every August, we met at the American Holiness Campground on Morrison Road, 1710 Morrison Road, in the maples and the beechnut trees, and went there for some fiery holiness preaching, and it was a good time together. Then Dan and I roomed together in Bible college. So this is a well-traveled, well-versed man, and we're just going to go at it and tag team tonight. So Brother Dan, with nothing else, everybody give him a big cheer. Wait, let me fix that. We do not, the world gives men cheer. We give glory to God for the gift that's inside the man. Yes. That's the proper way.
Amen.
Brother Dan, take it away, man.
Okay. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm not, my speech and teaching and all that won't be as smooth as Brother Sam, but that's okay. He's got a lot of experience. But this is on my heart, and I do want to share it. I was looking up a verse. I was praying for somebody. It was before one of our services about a year ago. And I was looking up a verse, and I was reading through it. And it came to Hebrews in chapter 6. And I was reading through that, and it wasn't actually what I looked for, but I'm going to go through. We're going to read chapter 6, and I'll show you the, I just did it again. I got rid of it. I'll get it back. And I'm going to show you in all this, one, how God led through it, and two, never to give up. I didn't lose my place. I just thumbed up my Bible and lost where I was at.
Hate it when that happens.
It's all right. Yep. I'm pretty skilled at that. And
there we go.
And it's never fun when it's live and in front of everybody.
Yeah. It'll happen more there. So we're going to do Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do ministry. and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to and full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
Yes. Amen.
For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for when an end of all disputes. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, immutably of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. Now I read through that, I mean, it's all covered, don't get me wrong, but the part that God brought to me was hope entered the presence behind the veil. Well, nothing got, you know, Testament, nothing went around the veil, but hope went around the veil, which that's torn and Jesus is our high priest, but it said to me that hope gets to the heart of God.
Come on, man.
When all other things fail, hope gets to the heart of God. And I was like, I called Sam and I said, Sam, there's more to this verse. God's telling me there's more to this verse. So I prayed about it for a while. I talked to several different people, and some were excited, some weren't.
Yeah.
And that's all right. It taught me, Dan, it doesn't matter. God said there's more to the verse. Just find it. Keep digging. Keep working at it. Keep finding what it is. So that's what I did. Some helped tremendously. And what God really wanted to do, and you can go back through here. I like verse 15 and 16. It says, and so after he had patiently endured to obtain the promise, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. So as I studied through that, it's like I keep saying, God, I can hope for a lot of things, but that don't mean it's right. I can hope for all kinds of stuff. You know, I hope when I get home there's a new car there, but
amen.
I don't necessarily look at that as being the most important thing. But there's all kinds of things I can hope for. But some things seem to have power and some don't. Why is it that some get in the veil? So as I start studying that a little harder, Sam brings up to me, he says, Did you know when you plant, you're to plant with hope? When you harvest with hope? And I think, but that just seems greedy. I mean, it's all right to want, but it seems greedy. And I still haven't got it. I just had a hard time getting it. I keep asking God, what do you mean by that? Well, when you look at Abraham, he was actually following what God had already said. And he was hoping that part of it would come to pass because it was God's word. So then when I get into hope, I don't really like the word hope because to me, and in our culture, hope, there's always, it's that chance.
Yeah.
Like maybe, I'll hope, maybe I'll get it. There might be a chance. I'll hope for it. I hope I do. And that's the kind of hope we understand. But when you start looking at faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Amen.
The evidence of things not seen, or even perhaps you don't know how it could even be possible. So what I've come up with is, and through studying the different sides of hope, there is a positive side of hope.
Yep.
We just don't know it in our culture. It's not. It's just not what we're taught in language. But the side of hope that I've seen is hope is based on a word of God anywhere in Scripture. It's His word, and He can't lie. So we have that confident assurance of what's there, that it will be made and shown manifest to us in the future. Now, it might not be right away. How long was Abraham before he...
25 years.
Child? 25 years. And he didn't give up. He just kept believing for it. So sometimes it might not be right away. But I have learned, instead of saying hope, I have learned to say, God, this is your word.
Yeah.
This is your desire.
Yeah.
And I have the confident assurance. In other words, I'm confident. I'm assured I can rest. But I'm going to see that be made manifest. And that is the hope that I find. And you can go almost anywhere in Scripture where it talks about it. And you can use that exact phrase, and it will fall right in, and it's like it's a big help and encouragement for any time you're praying or trying to walk in faith, or you see a promise you might not. You just have the confident assurance. Now it doesn't happen automatic. I have to put it. I have to say it. I have to think it. It's like I mentioned the other day, I said, you know, my mind's really not ready to think when I go down the road, that fuel needle's going to stick. I would think it was broken mechanically. Inclined as I am, I would think it was broken. I'm going to have to go fix that. But I need to get that confident assurance that God's going to take care of us. We're going to go through hard times. The Bible said that even in the book of Revelation or in Thessalonians, when it talks about the last days, where the times there are going to be hard and be harder than what we're used to. But that doesn't mean anything, really, shouldn't mean anything to us, those that walk in faith, because we have the substance of the things we can hope for, even though we don't know how it's going to happen or see the evidence of it yet.
Well, and, you know, you were talking a minute ago about this, the farmer planting the seed. I think that is one of the greatest and most simplest examples of hope you can find, because you plant three little kernels, is what we used to plant, in a hill for a corn stalk. And you get this big old huge corn stalk and three big ears of corn, and each ear of corn is going to have between 800 to 2,000 kernels on it.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to see what hope is, that's hope. That is, what was the words you used? Confidence, assurance?
Confident assurance, yes.
And see.
You'll see it made manifest.
So when you take it to that verse in Genesis 8:22, as long as this earth remains, there will be seed time and a confident assurance of harvest. Genesis 8:22. And,
yes.
You know, it's like, I love to tell the story, and I'm going to come back to Dan, but I got to tell it because it's always in me. There was a farmer in my church in West Branch. So I was teaching this one day, and I said, Brother Cal, I'm going to ask you a very serious question right in the middle of the church. And he's like, got this look like, oh, Jesus. Like, if you buy a bag of hydro-grow corn, whatever the name of it is, and you go to the same co-op and you buy a 50-pound bag or a 100-pound bag of it, you buy 200-pound bags. One bag, you sow it in Ogama County, West Branch, and one bag you sow in Saginaw County. Same bags, same group of seed. They all came in together in the same order. They were laying side by side on the pallet. You just took one to Ogama, and you took one to Saginaw. What's the difference in how it produces? He said, we're going to get 150 to 170 bushels of corn per acre in West Branch. And in Saginaw, they're going to get 225 to 250 bushels of corn per acre in Saginaw. Same bag, same pallet, same seed. Confident expectation. The guys in West Branch, if they got 250 bushel per acre, would flip right out and do backflips. The guys in Saginaw, if they only got 175, they'd call in the insurance company and say, we've had a total loss. And I said, Brother Cal, what is it? He goes, light, heat, and soil condition. That's all it is. Same seed from the same batch. And that farmer can, I love your word, Dan, hope goes past the veil. Cal would literally say, I put this many pounds of seed in that field, it's going to produce this much corn this fall. And I would ask him, did it work? Yep, that's exactly what it did. You can take it to the bank, unless there's a drought where there's no rain. That's what it's going to produce. And you talk about confident expectation.
Yeah.
And yet, look at that statement you made, Dan. It takes us past the veil. Hit that again, because you just rocked my world with it.
Yes, when we stand in confident assurance, and we know when you're in that point spiritually, you know you're going to see it be made manifest somewhere down the road. It went under the veil, the way it described it there, but it gets to the heart of God. If we have that kind of confident assurance of his word, and we're standing in faith with it, everything else is going to take and happen. Hey, and when I was younger, everybody said, well, you just got to expect it. You got to expect it. Well, that was all right. Never right. You do. But I didn't. Now that I see it and understand it this way, I have more understanding scripture-wise, how that works. Is it substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? So your faith grows because of how you understand his promise. He both swore his own name to it. It's an oath. And, of course, God can't lie because that's not who he is. So it's going to happen. All we have to do is believe. But anyways, it was an understanding of what the word hope means to me.
Well, it's so powerful because it's the hope that takes you into the Holy of Holies.
It's powerful.
Because if you don't have hope, you won't go in there. You'll be afraid of God. You'll be getting in the Holy of Holies going, oh, it's going to get bad. But that's your boldness in your Christian life because you know you're born again. I'm not trying to mess up your notes, though, so get right back into your notes.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. But like I said, and everybody's different. That's fine. And in the Bible, you can go through in the New Testament, and it will say, don't condemn them for it. They're still saved. They lost their hope. They gave up through that. Through there, probably some hard times there, and they gave up through it. God still loves them. So there's no condemnation. But yet, as we work on his promises, and we work on just being assured that it is going to happen, he said it was, and walk in that direction, it does build our faith. And just, like I say, I'm not saying I don't have this because I walk a perfect life. I can walk on water yet. That's not it. It's just a growing time for me. I'm sharing because when it comes to my fuel tanks, I'm not there yet. I've got to ask God to change my thoughts, change the way I think.
Let me know,
grow in faith in this a little more. Maybe needing that for time. Then you get into, Pastor Barclay was saying, when you get into operating in the gifts, where am I? What do you need me for now? I am a child of God. Your word says that. I give my life to you. I believe in you. All that's true. And I already am, and it's going to be evident because there is going to be signs of miracles that work around me. They're going to be there. I think you have to believe that as you walk and step forward in what you say. And it'll start, I think it starts out in just smaller areas of faith, but it's just the walk of Christ and where we want to be.
Amen.
A to the men.
Those are my thoughts anyways.
Well, and those are the experiences of life that we're continually growing into more and more and more. Because we see a whole lot more today than we've ever seen any time in our life. We see a whole lot more today than we have ever seen at any time in our life. And thank God for that confident. Because that's literally what is happening, is we are being trained by God, and it is causing us to stand up and be strong in God.
Well, but that's like what we were talking about earlier, too, when we were talking with Dan. Like he's saying, we have to look every day, extracting and seeing what God is doing in our life, but people have been so trained into explaining away or trying to explain away or find the scientific, you know, backing behind any miracle that happens. Well, that just takes that whole, it takes the confidence in God and the knowing of what he's doing away that we're supposed to be living in. It's such an innate part of us that we, it has been trained out of us. I'm not sure what words I'm trying to use to explain.
Just
that.
Go, love. But you're doing it. So we're not only tag teaming, we're tag teaming with Sister Leanne, too.
That's good.
Dan was doing a better job of explaining it, though. We need to be expecting it to see it happening. And people have so learned to, what are the words?
Well, we've learned to say, I believe, but then we don't actually believe.
Yeah, we explain away everything or try to, and it's not that.
So, explain some more, Dan, when you said that about looking at my fuel gauge so it doesn't go down.
Yeah.
Say that a little bit more.
Oh, okay. I'd like to be able to explain it really easy, but I got it in my head. Yeah, that'd be great. I'm all for it. I believe I can say I believe it's going to happen. But I'm not in that believing relationship-wise with God through Scripture. I've got it, and I just have to ask him, what is it I'm not seeing? Because I'm not real confident in that. I know it can happen. But what part is it that I don't see? Because I want to be able to confess it. I want to be able to add that to my life. I want to be able to believe for that to happen to where I can actually have it manifest and take place. That's above the natural a long ways.
Right.
But you explained somebody putting water in their car and driving, so. I mean, it isn't that it don't happen. I know those stories are probably true. I believe they're true.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it happens.
Yeah, especially that one. That's very mild. He literally drove all the way across Mexico with water in his gas tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all need to keep reading.
On a mechanical side, I'd say, well, no, it can't happen, but yeah, I can.
on the mechanical side, we'd be like, what, are you out of your mind? Why do you think I put a fuel filter on this carbureted engine?
Read what Fran 7 just wrote, too, because these are the steps we all need to be taking to see these things happen. She walks every day in great expectancy and continuously sees these things happen, and I think that.
Now, let me add a few more words to what Dan was just saying about that. One of the things that I see in the end times that you and I are going to have to do is we're going to have to get so confident in the Word of God. That's what Dan's teaching us tonight. Because all this happened with you, Dan, because you began to study hope.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not because Dan just had a meteor fall out of the sky and then God, boom, boom, zapped him with a bunch of faith. He began to study the Word of God on the word hope. I don't remember, Dan, how many times is it used in the Bible?
50, I don't remember exactly. I can look it up.
Yeah. Well, and that's not an important thing. The idea was I sent him the search one day. But like Brother Dan, Brother Dave Godby, Brother Davey Butts, Jamie, James and Felicia Eicher, Gary West, and Ken Brumbaugh. These guys are all truck-driving men. the number one expense in their, well, I guess the number one expense anymore is going to be the cost of a new truck, but their greatest expense every day is that they got to put that fuel in. What'd you say it was? $5 a gallon?
$5.12 at the pump, yeah.
$5.12 at the pump.
Wow.
So when I was talking to Dan, I said, I believe that God wants you and I as believers, and Sister Francetta just said it, to be able to stand at that pump and say, tank be full, click it off, you put 10 bucks in, but when you get in, the gas gauge goes to full, and then the gas gauge stays at full.
Yes.
Not because you are some form of a wizardly magician. No, my faith, my hope is in Almighty God. And what verse is it that says it goes past the veil?
19, verse 19.
This hope we have.
Hebrews 6.
As an anchor of the soul. See, that's this confident assurance and expectation is an anchor for our soul, sure and steadfast, which enters the presence past the veil. Like Dan said, nobody went past that veil. But your hope does. So this statement was driving down the road, watching that needle, saying, no, my tank stays full.
Hallelujah.
What was it? Friend said it. Said drove all over the city with $16 in fuel.
Tastes so good.
But you're not going to get it just because you go to the gas pump and say it one time like I just said it, or Dan said it, or Friend said it. That level of hope comes because you get the Bible out and you have a verse of scripture and you're actually standing on that scripture. And you're speaking that word of God out loud every day.
Amen.
It's your time to talk, Dan, not mine.
No, you're doing good.
I'm going back over here because that just rang my bell that your hope is what takes you behind that veil.
Yes. Get you access. Things are answered quick with hope.
Keep going. I stuck it down in Granny Low, but I'll go ahead and get up on the high side now, all right?
I'm kind of fast on my message. I'm reading out. Oh, by the way, there's 53 quote verses.
53.
In the New Testament.
In the New Testament.
In the New Testament. But that was my very much my what I wanted to share. And then you know that you learned something and you have all this past experience in life with God, which is good. And you have different verses that meant something to you, and then you go back through and you readjust your amount of hope or faith in those verses. It gets very interesting. And that's what I've done every time, and it is. It's very interesting, and it draws you a lot closer, and it's just a culture walk. But I was just thankful because I've asked a lot of times, everybody will say, well, I have faith, okay. I don't know if I've got it all figured out or not, but I believe what God's word says. But then as you start walking through it and the different things he's told you, the different verses that he's put to your heart, and then you look at them again a little different and grow smart. It's good. God's always personal. And it just, you really draw a lot closer. And that's what I found on that end.
Well,
I'm very thankful for it.
You, what you've done is you took a word that we spoke here, and now you've begun to study that out yourself. And that word has come alive inside of you, and that's built your relationship for how many months now?
About a year now, certain, yeah. But I learned to pray different. I've learned to do a lot of things because we want answers.
Right.
And God answers a lot of prayers, whether they're just right or not. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm just looking for more faith that I can use and have better answers and help people out. It's like I was saying earlier today, his sister knows people all around, and she had some people on there from over there in Ukraine, and they said, in the battles they're in, and I just saw it was very powerful, in the battles they're in, and the loss they see, and all the times they're living down in bomb shelters and stuff. And they had a psalm in there, and it said that, you know, they're going through that. And at the end it said, look, this isn't my battle, Lord, this is yours.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, man, that's powerful. You realize they just gave that all to God, but they spoke his word. And when they do that, you can stand there with them in faith, hope, actually, and believe it's going to manifest out there right before their eyes. And they're going to find a lot of help. There's going to be a lot of things that happen around them that they may never know about for a while. They may hear about later that actually helped and saved them because of their faith, because they were looking to God's word.
Well, and that verse you were just starting to quote there, 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's powerful. And now abides faith, hope, and love. But what is hope?
Confident assurance of the promise of God that he gives, that we're standing on, and we'll see it made manifest right before our eyes. I don't know what time it'll be, but it will happen. God will always come out and be the winner.
Amen. Amen. We stand in his way too much, though.
Yeah, don't stand in his way.
Do that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, don't stand in his way. Not like I've never done it, or not that I have done it, excuse me, not like I've ever stood in God's way.
Amen, Francetta, and I am like that too. Every time I even find a good parking spot, you thank Jesus for everything, even a good parking spot. And that's the hope and expectancy that we need to walk in.
But see, there's a lot of people that will say about that. Yeah, but you're believing God for a parking space? Really?
No, you just thank him when you get one.
I believe him for it.
Show. Yeah.
I believe him for it. If you've ever been to our Walmart, you have to believe God for a parking space here, or you're parking over in Doc Holliday's field. It's like, goodness sakes alive. But we get one over and over right up by the front door because we can get in and get out and keep moving. Now, if you don't have anything to do and you're kind of bored and your daily life of nothingness is to go at Walmart and look at people, I'd be all right. That's the least of my necessities about Walmart. And
so at least pray for them while you're there.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. We have some of those Walmart people here. Back to the message, though, because this is such a powerful message, Dan.
It really is.
When you think, everybody turn there, 1 Corinthians 13, Let's read it. Matter of fact, Dan, I'm going to have you read it because I'm always reading. And you're live now, so you can read it. This is a message that could be taught every week.
Bringing us back to that remembrance to hold on to that, what we're supposed to be living in.
Yep. And while Dan gets there,
wait a minute, it's where? Second Corinthians?
First Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
Oh, okay.
Let's just read the whole thing. Because the whole thing is about hope. But when you think about your Christian life, Sister Francetta shared with us how God had set her free from all of the meds and totally changed her whole life. She feels completely different.
Yeah.
But it's not just because she stopped taking pills. That's just the physical action. You now have to do the spiritual action with it, which is standing on the word of God. I've got a new DNA. His life is living on the inside of me. I wish above all things he prosper, be in health as your soul prospers. And you've got, every one of us have to learn to get a set of verses about the specific subject we're entering into. Write them out and then speak them out loud every day.
Yeah.
And as you speak them out loud, you build this hope. Go ahead, Dan. I just keep going, but I want you to read. This is a good chapter. I like this chapter. This whole chapter is about hope.
Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels that have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains that have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Wow.
For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
It is such a good chapter.
That's an amazing chapter. And if you look at that whole chapter is hope.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine giving your body to be burned and it costs you and it profits you nothing?
Or anyone else.
Yeah, or anyone else.
People who gave their bodies to be burned, they were in hope and expectation that things were going to change because of that.
Yeah.
Hope.
Yeah.
They hoped in something that wasn't found in Scripture.
And when you pray in a heavenly language, it's a perfect example of hope. You're saying words your brain don't understand.
That he will understand and do everything.
And your hope manifests immediately right on the spot. Because we read it the last 2 days. When we... hold on. Howbeit, in the Spirit, we speak the hidden wisdom of God ordained for our glory. When you talk about hope, how can I pray in tongues and not produce anything? Would you please make that happen and do something? Don't just sit there and look at me. Go do something. Edge of the bank, right down in the middle of the rushing water, like... I mean, just think about tongues. There's no human understanding to tongues. Zero. But when you pray in hope, it takes you past the veil, right into the Holy of Holies. And it begins. Say again?
I said that right.
You think about the fuel gauge or standing at the fuel pump. When you know you're going in to get fuel, start praying in the Holy Ghost before you get there. I am filling my tank up in the Holy Spirit. The oil of the Holy Spirit is now going into your tank, putting the amount of fuel you need into that tank. And every time you look at that fuel gauge, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow me. Goodness, he overflows my cup. Well, Pastor, why would God even want that to happen for his children? Because he doesn't want us living in lack in any sense of the word in any way. And those gas prices don't have to be that high. They're putting that inflation up on purpose.
Yeah, to pay for our... yeah. $600 checks we kept giving for free.
All right. Paid for nothing. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was
paid for the whole world to abort babies. The amount of money went into abortion around the world was horrendous. Now, so anyways, I got to get back to your verses, Dan, because you're not done yet. Well, I'm going to go back to Hebrews and go back there to chapter 6 because that's such a powerful chapter. And Dan said, I think it was verse 17, 18, and 19. Let's read those three again, Dan.
Yeah.
Sorry, take your time. It's just the internet.
17, 18, and 19?
Yeah.
Does God determine to show more?
Don't worry about it. He'll be right back.
This is
he, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Sister Phyllis, you got it? Read it. We got to wait for Brother Dan to get back. Somebody kicked him out. We welcome you back, brother. Come back anytime you can get here. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Immutability means unchangeableness of his counsel. Confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I just love this verse, which enters the presence behind the veil. Brother Dan, come back. Brother Dan, come back. So when you look at hope from now on, you and I got to look at that word as confident, assurance, and expectation. There he is. Go ahead, brother. Are you safe?
I'm back. Yeah, I'm safe. I don't know what happened. Too many pages up here for it.
Go ahead.
Anyways, I don't know where did we
17. Start right back at 17.
Okay. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise.
Well, I declare right now that Brother Dan's technology works and it quits kicking him out. And I declare it don't matter how long I'm going to sit here tonight. Brother Dan's going to read these verses and talk about it. To all y'all opposition, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Every tongue that rises against us, we condemn. And this word from Brother Dan sits deep inside of every one of our hearts from this day forward and causes us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hit it again, brother.
On again.
All right, you're back.
Phyllis got kicked off on Zoom, too.
Phyllis got kicked off on Zoom, too.
Oh, no, you're still on Zoom.
You're still there.
You're on Zoom and Facebook.
Go ahead, brother. We're going to read these verses. Dan's going to read these verses on Zoom. I am not stopping until it happens.
These are really good verses.
All right, let's see if I can go it this way. Leave me again?
No, we're here.
Is it her?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Isn't that interesting?
Is he gone again? Wow.
The council confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consultations who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered the presence behind the veil.
Wow. By two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. You were talking about the earth. Say it again. Oh, you got to do some talking. I got no hammer, a spammer. And he's gone. And he's back.
I see. For some of you, I'm on 5G. There?
Yeah, we're here. We're enjoying your trip across the universe.
I say, here I am. I'm having a hard time. I got 5G here. Goodness sakes.
Everybody go outside, and if you see a shooting star going from the south to the north, that's Brother Dan. Just enjoy it. You know, it's quite a sight.
It's so frustrating.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh, yeah, it just,
well, obviously, we're having some form of trouble there tonight on Zoom anyways, because Sister Phyllis said she's got kicked off.
Yeah.
And everybody else seems to have been, has been kicked off, but it doesn't matter. We command that all of – wait, this is hope. You ready? This is hope. We declare all of our platforms work properly.
That's right. We will see that in manifest.
Amen.
So that's what 5G sounds like, huh? I thought everybody said 5G was going to be absolutely amazing. Dan's got so much power, it blows him right out of the truck. He has to climb back up, get back in his seat. Hallelujah. All right, so
that was really
I really want you to go back to verse 17 and 18 and say it from your perspective, how you saw it at the beginning again. Because Dr. Barclay's always taught us that when you're teaching, you say what you're going to say, then you say it. Then you say that you said it, and you say it one last time. Wait, this time he comes back, we'll see if he can hit take it to Blog Talk Radio. That might be easier. He might just do it. Now, for everybody that's listening, you might be like, wow, that was a good word, Dan, even in the middle of it. And what has he done tonight? He's used his gift to teach what he sees by his faith and brought us a word to encourage all of us. And the grace of God that's on Brother Dan's life that you and I watch every Sunday. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just come back on Blog Talk Radio. They won't kick you out of there.
That's right. We're going to win.
Yeah.
Message still gets across.
You might have to turn your volume up a little bit or something.
You mean I might have to talk a little louder?
You might have to talk a little bit louder, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Whichever volume you want to turn up.
You were saying to say it again how I seen it. Right?
Yeah. In 17, yeah, those verses.
Yeah, well, how I seen it was, as God said, why did hope get under the veil? Nothing gets under the veil. That's what we were always taught. But hope gets under the veil. Why is that, Dan? I don't know. But if you go through and you go back up, it's through the promise and through God's word, the different things he said, we believe he cannot lie. He does not lie. It's just not who God is. He never will. That is nothing to worry about. And he used his own name as an oath. A lot of times that happens. They'll use a higher up name, usually a name of God. Well, he used his own name. There is no one higher. That so we already That's the confident assurance we have. It's going to happen. As long as we stay in faith and believe for it, it's going to happen. That's our hope. And it's that confident assurance it's going to happen. We can rest in it. We're going to see it manifest in front of us. And that's faith.
And that's faith. And that's hope. And what's the two immutable things by which God cannot lie? Say that again.
His name. He can't lie. And he gave an oath. He swore an oath on his own name, but God just cannot lie. It's not who he is.
Not who he is. He can't lie. I love it. Did I say it? Yep. Then it's coming to pass.
Okay.
That's one of our challenges, is that we get our own word that can be that strong and solid in this day. We can count on our word just like that, because his word is inside of us. So God said to you, how did it get past the veil? I love that thought.
Yeah. How did it get past the veil, Dan? Okay, I don't know. Okay, I'll find out. I also like, I really do like verse 11 and 12. Because that speaks right directly to us. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's correct. I really like that. It's another promise.
And it's more hope.
Right? More hope. It's another promise. More hope. Going to see it happen. Be diligent. Going to see it happen. Through patience.
No.
Abraham was 25 years. Go ahead.
It's all right. We're just, oh my goodness. Is it really that time already?
It is.
My Lord, how does time go by? Hey, Dan, right now while we're on here, let's try it. Let's do a test. Disconnect your
Zoom,
but stay on Blog Talk.
I got it. Am I on something else here? I'll leave.
All right. Now talk for a little bit.
Yeah, is that better? Was I echoing back?
Well, you wasn't echoing, but having those two apps open was like dividing up your volume.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah.
So we just learned something.
Yep.
I don't know whether there's any hope in that or not, but we did learn about volume.
We were hoping for wisdom.
That's the kind of hope I'm looking for.
Yeah, but look at what that says in verse 12. That you do not become sluggish or allow something to begin to slow you down. Sluggish is a terminology that you're starting to gain weight, you're starting to slow down, you're not exercising as much, you're becoming
so slothful.
A gooey Christian.
A gooey Christian.
But imitate those who through faith and patience, which is hope, inherit the promise. Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain, and he said, it don't matter. God will raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
God will raise him up out of the ashes, because this is my promised son, got to happen. I like Brother Jesse to plan the story on that, how his mama said, "You little wild heathen, you're going to preach the gospel. I don't care who you are. You are my son, and I have got the promise from God, and it's happening."
Amen. She understood it.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And it worked. Amen. And look at him. He's touched hundreds of millions of people around the world. Maybe, who knows, probably in his lifetime, he will truly reach a billion people. What a thought to be able to actually influence a billion people because you just kept building your hope. And Brother Jesse, any message of his you listen to, he's going to tell you that faith is trust. How far can you trust God?
Yeah.
He said, I heard him say it one time, I don't have any more faith than you guys have. I might have more trust than you do. But trust is just a learned thing. Where God said to do it, you go do it. And then you can learn to trust. I said today, I was praying and talking with my angel today. I don't know if you guys can see him, but the dude's standing right there. Oh, man, he gives some knuckles. You know what? Let's just look at it. Wait, are we out of time?
Yes,
sir. We are out of time? Okay, I haven't seen Brother Roger. Brother Roger, where are you? I need you right now to say 4 more hours. Let's go to the verse in Exodus where God said, I am sending my angel before you. Exodus 23. Justice for all, the law of the Sabbath, the annual feast. At 23:20. Feel like reading more, Dan?
No, go ahead. I'll listen.
20 to 31. Behold, I send an angel before you. Ready? Say it with me. I have an angel. To keep you in all of the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Now, naturally, he's talking to Moses about getting all the children, all the kids of God all the way to Canaan. And so that's true in that situation with Moses. But it's also true with you and I. We know we have an angel with us. And my angel, he's got to be standing right here because he protects me, has been sent to help me get into this place. Now that's hope. See, this is confident expectation. Look at verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. And those pronouns are capitalized. Jesus talking about this angel.
Nope.
But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, I will cut them off. 24, do not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God. Look at 25. and he, that's capitalized, will bless your bread and your water and will take sickness away from the midst of you. Is your hope to get off all meds? There's a verse for you to stand on right there. If you want your hope to be built, it's got to be built on the word of God, because your hope can't just be you. Hope comes from the word. What Brother Dan was just telling us, by two immutable things in which God cannot lie. He swore by his own name, and he spoke it in his word. God can't lie. It's in the word. It's going to come to pass, like he said. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one will suffer miscarriage or be barren. I will fulfill the number of your days written in your book, Psalm 139. Hold on. I'm writing it right in my Bible right now. Psalm 139. Who knows the reference? Verse 20. Psalm 139. Who knows it? Somebody quick. Y'all are Bible scholars. 13-22. Look at 27. I'll send my fear before you. Jesus, help me. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. So when you show up in a situation and the people you're trying to deal with seem confused, know that the angel of the Lord has already been there before you, and he's going to cause you to bring an answer in the middle of that confusion. Oh, my God. I will make your enemies turn their backs to you. I'll send hornets before you. They will drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before you. Do you know you can... God can make more hornets than you can kill with decon.
Oh my goodness.
You ever seen them swarms of blackbirds or starlings that come out and been on Egypt in some of them places?
I've seen swarms of hornets before. That is a scary thing.
May the tanks of every Russian be filled with hornets that do not die no matter what they spray in there. And they look and say, this plague is from God. We're going home. And they just leave the tank sitting right there for Ukraine to have. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just reading the Bible. I will send my horns before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before you. I will drive them out before you in 1 year. I will not, lest the land become desolate, beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you inherit the whole land. And then he gives the description of what is the land of Israel. Now, why did I want us to go there? Because God has sent an angel to be with us. And that angel is to bless every part of your life. Most of us have never been taught to listen to the voice of that angel.
True. Very true.
Do you know what the truth is? He's been taught to it our whole life. And as soon as we, by the help of God's word, listen to the voice of the angel like God wants us to, we'll go back and see all the places where he spoke to us of what to do and realize that was the angel, that was the angel, that was the angel, that was the angel. God was leading me by his angel all the way through my life. And I missed that one, that one, that one, that one. And right now today, the angel's standing right here saying, I got another assignment. Just listen to me. I'm going to show you how to do this. Will you let me teach you how to hear my voice?
Yeah, and you know, this makes me think of young children that have an invisible friend. They see their friend, they talk to their friend. Could that be their angel? And we just keep dismissing it out of their life until they no longer hear or recognize it. I mean, I know there's the thought of it could be a deceiving spirit, but there is also the thought
right.
that it could be their angel.
Could be your angel.
Sometimes they say things that are so far beyond them and recognize people. They talk about people. Well, you know, that could be.
Right.
But it makes you wonder.
Well, you know we have an angel that protects us and keeps over.
Yeah.
God's given us into his angels to protect us and keep us safe. See, what ends up happening is, which voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the world, or are you listening to the voice of God? Because if you're listening to the voice of God, God's going to take care of every part of our life.
Amen. Amen.
True.
And here's Moses. You ready? He's standing at the fuel island. That's on the rock. You know, it's out in Iowa. It's called the Rock. He's standing out there. And God said, strike the rock, and out of it flowed enough water for the whole nation. That's 3 million people and all their livestock. And if you're following us on Read the Word, all them livestock that they're slaughtering every day for the offerings. Oh, my Lord. But the next time that he stood at the rock, what did God say to him? He didn't say to him, strike the rock. He said, speak to the rock. So that's why I'm saying to you and I, we've got to just begin to build the understanding on the inside of us. God's going to take care of me. I'm paying your stupid fuel price. Pump and my tank's going to fill up. I'm not stealing from the... Everybody pay attention. We're not stealing nothing. Don't be nobody saying you're going to steal something from somebody.
No.
You're going to put your nozzle in the tank and say, tank, be full. Bam, it's full. What did Jesus do with the fishes and loaves? So what do you have? Excuse me. He said, what do you have? I said, 5 fish and 2 loaves. Bring them here. What did he do? Feed the people. And somewhere in that process, those 3 fish and 5 loaves or whatever it was, fed 20,000 people. How did it do that? Except by a multiplication factor by our God. Why didn't God say, no, take your money, go buy it in the community and pay all the people to make bread today? No, he was going to show that miracle of provision.
Amen.
Let's use another one. The story of the prophet in Samaria when they were surrounded. They were eating each other's children and donkey's heads and dub dung. Huh? And yet
terrible.
That prophet said, at this time tomorrow, there is going to be plenty of it. It's going to be real cheap. And not one person in the city who heard the prophet got the revelation, but the 4 left out the field said, was somebody talking? It's the 92nd lady.
Yeah.
It's the 92nd lady. All right. Hang on just a second, Dave.
Yep.
Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Now watch this. And yet those 4 lepers said, why do we sit here until we die? What is that hope? That's hope rising up on the inside of them saying, let's go get up and go do something. If we sit here, we're going to die because they don't have any food. And if we go over there, they might kill us. But, hey, we're going to die anyways. You die if you go in the city. You die if you stay here. And if we go over there, they might have mercy on us and feed us. And when they got there, not only did they bring did they get to eat, but the whole camp was empty. And they were not dumb lepers. They immediately said, well, I'm going to take these clothes to my place. And I'll take that bag of gold right there, and I'm going to carry that with me. And I'm going to take food with me. And, hey, Charlie, get some for you, too. I got me a nice horse over here. You see my horse? And God Almighty did a mighty miracle. Did a mighty miracle. All right, Dan, you're back. Just don't hang up.
Oh, I'm good.
You're good. All right. Well, by two immutable things, it was impossible. Is it really 9:30?
Yeah.
Well,
and you was doing good, Dan, because I wasn't even paying attention to the time.
You did. That was a good message. Like I said, that's a message that could be taught every week to keep us.
All right. So every time you finish the message, you recapitulate. You say it one more time. You want to say it once more?
Hope has the power to get under the veil, because hope is our trust, belief in the promises of God, and he hears us, and he listens, and he answers, because we do get to the heart of God that way. Confident assurance and that manifesting right in front of us. It's going to happen. I still don't like the word hope.
Yeah. Because it has the connotation of wishy-wishy, maybe mighty.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
True definition of hope is confident assurance. This is coming to pass. Well, I think I've had Dan give three closings now. I'm just trying to teach him how to do, you know, three closings. You have one more verse, Dan, just before we're done?
No, I'm good.
That was a great word.
That's a great word.
It really, really is so.
Well, and I'm sure we're not done with it, because there's so much more to be said. There's 53 verses there, and we're going to keep right on going on this. Every so often, who knows, maybe even tomorrow we'll just hit it again. But there's more verses, and the more of God's word that you get on this subject down inside of you, it's the word that's inside of you that produces the manifestation of it outside of you. Got to be hooked to the word inside, and then you get to have the manifestation outside, and that's what you guys watch right here. Every single day. Jesus, my name. Amen. Pray, Brother Dan. Pray for everybody.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every one that are here with us and the ones that are going to be with us in the future. We ask for insight in their lives as they seek more knowledge and more wisdom from you, Lord. You are faithful to give it to them. We pray for peace for them, that they know and walk boldly in the ways you lead them. We ask that you be with each one of them here.
Amen.
They all have needs, and you're more concerned with their needs than they are, than what we are. And your word is faithful. You are a faithful God. Exalt your name for that. You are faithful, and we stand in faith with them for strength to see you manifest and answer the different situations that are there. Some are very needy, and if we could, we would do it in ourselves, but it's best we just believe and have faith that you do it and take care of it.
Amen.
Praise, sure. We give you praise for that. We thank you We know you hear an answer. Your word says so. And we thank you for Pastor Sam and Leanne. We ask that you give them rest tonight, give them direction. There's great many things coming. And there's many, many answers, many things to study. And give them clear direction. Pick well at whatever will help the church, your church. And we give you praise. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, I'll close five times if I'm not careful. Dan had three, and now I'm going to have three more. So let's just turn straight to the communion verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Your Bible should just about open up to that page now. Thank you so much, Dan.
Yes, great word.
A lot of times, Sister Francetta or any of the rest of you, if you're having trouble with your phone and you're not being connected like you would, hit the recycle or refresh button and recycle everything, and sometimes it'll come back. Who knows? It's just the internet, and just stay at it till you get it, you know. All of you that's with us on YouTube tonight, welcome. We're glad to have you. All of our viewers, I think we're up to like 15 or something tonight. And all of you on Blog Talk Radio, make sure you get connected. Send us an email, something, and let us know where you're listening from. It'll be a blessing to you and to us in Jesus' mighty name. Most of all, just keep doing what it takes to make the internet work. Because do you realize that we are 14 days away from our second year anniversary? 14 days away. We got to start planning a party right now. We're 14 days away. It's party time.
First, well, unless we're all raptured out of here.
Yes.
Then we'll party in heaven.
And may our second year anniversary be done around the throne of Jesus.
Oh. Wow.
And he'll be like, hey,
my whole entire
hey, community of faith, can you kind of sit down back there? We'll be like, whoa! And there'll be about 50,000 of us from the community of faith up there going. And he'll say, well, you know, it's that internet bunch. They're a rowdy bunch over there. Yeah, they are over there. We have a spammer on YouTube. Well, Xavier Bullman, I speak over your life today, sir. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that as I click you off this page, that you come to Jesus. And from this day forward, you will only want the ways of righteousness. And this wicked perversion that you're in will never have another day's hold on you, another day. We bind the trauma, we bind the confusion, and we declare right now in the name of Jesus, I command you, come to Jesus today. In Jesus' mighty name. Goodbye. It's a really rough thing to do. It goes against everything on my insides, but to leave what he just left us there would violate everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Same manner after supper, after the cup, he took the supper. So I'll read the verse now. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Verse 31. Now, John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 says, love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. You think about how bold we are with our faith. We're pretty bold. We're rebuking Biden. We're rebuking Fancy Pants in Canada. We're rebuking Putin. That's pretty bold. But you know what's true about it? It's all coming from love. I don't want any of them to go to hell. That's where they're going. But we don't want them to go there. That's why we rebuke them. I've gone to preaching. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we on this world. Circle that he, because it's capitalized. Now, verse 18. Love, perfect love, cast out fear and the torment that goes with it in Jesus' mighty name. Because there's no fear in love, and there's no fear in the communion elements either. Now, verse 27 says, if you take the blood of Jesus in an unworthy manner, you'll take to yourself damnation. Well, here's the thing, guys. The only person that's going to do that is somebody who showed up here today to mock God. If you mock God and take communion, you will drink damnation to your soul. If you're here tonight saying, Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life. You're not. You don't. That will never be you, because you'll be the guy in verse 28 that is examining yourself. And in so doing, you're going to eat of the bread and drink of the cup in Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's pray the prayer of salvation, or the prayer of rededication, or the prayer of, I've already prayed this 1,000 times, but I'm going to pray it again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Are you ready? Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John
3:16. And John chapter 1.
And John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you. Now, from the depth of your heart, say this. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose from the third day triumphant.
And you rose from the third day triumphant.
Put your hands out and just do this. I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
Fill every part of my being. With you, Jesus.
With you, Jesus.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
And make me white as
snow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. You think about what just happened to you. Welcome to the family of God. You just became a believer. You just said, I believe on you, Jesus. You're now a believer.
Yeah.
Watch this. You just went from darkness to light, from fear to faith, from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. How does that happen, Pastor? Because God never does something to you. He takes you from where you was, puts you over into a different place. Jesus, the light of the world, just came and filled you. You ask him to. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, just filled you. You ask him to. And all of Jesus' righteousness comes with you. And he made you into his righteousness right now. Just like that. I'm 59 years old. I've been born again since I was 12 years old, maybe since I was 8 or 9, who knows, first time I prayed, but I remember age number 12. And every time I put my hands out like that and I say, fill every part of me, I can feel, I am experiencing the manifested presence of God filling my being. And I ask God that every one of you have this same experience. Why? Because you didn't get a religion. You didn't get a church. You didn't get a denomination. You just was made one again with your Father, who was the one in heaven who put you, the Spirit, inside your mama's womb when the egg and the sperm came together. Just like that. And now here you are. And you've just been made in a perfect relationship, born again. And now you get to walk with God your Father every single day. So, Pastor, that's what the Christian life is? Yeah, you're a believer. Believe. You have a relationship with God. Just walk with him. Pray this prayer. Father.
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
help me walk with you every day.
Help me walk with you every day.
You can pray that prayer. Pray it in the morning. Pray it at noon. Pray it when you have supper. Pray it when you lay down and go to bed at night. Say, how did I do today, Father? And guess what? He will talk to you, and he will tell you. And he sent you a big old angel, just like mine right here, to guide you in all of your ways and keep you safe. It's just a cool thing. So first step, they put my email address and website in there. On the website is a communion service. I recommend you receive communion every day. My email address, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Send me an email. Say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. You might say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer again today for the 1,000th time. It's all right. I got verses to send you. I got videos to share with you. I got a playlist to give you that will help you begin to walk with God every single day of your life. And you're going to love this one. I love it. I have a great relationship with my Father. My dad, who gave birth to me, is in heaven. But I have a great relationship with God the Father every day. And we're learning this Christian life in a way we've never known it before. Now, get your communion elements out. Get you some grape juice and bread. If you don't have grape juice, get you some water. We'll bless them and receive them together. Think about it. Your first act as a new believer is to receive communion. How cool is that? Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplied.
Every joint supplied.
From my body.
From my body.
In your broken body, Jesus.
In your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You endured the cross, despising the shame, and you counted all joy. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am. Creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
With hope and expectation.
With hope and expectation.
Pass the veil.
Pass the veil.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over.
Has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
In my life.
In my
day.
Life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive this broken bloodshed.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full and free. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen. Brother Dan, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
For that good word tonight, man. You still with us?
Yep, still here.
All right.
Yes.
If you'd have said, no, I'm raptured, we'd all been in trouble. It's about time for some more of those rapture pranks. I remember one time I got off the bus at our house, and my dad had been preaching on the rapture. And my mom was not there. And there was no sign of her having been there. And of course, that wasn't usual for her. You know, five kids getting off the school bus, you'd want to make sure you was home. Because you're going to have a little bit of pent-up energy and a whole bunch of hungry kids that'll devour everything in the house. She wasn't there. And I waited till the bus got to the top of the hill, and I called Steve Miller, and I'm like, Steve, is your mom home? No. Does it look like she's been there? No. Oh, my Lord. The rapture has happened, and we missed it. Hello. I don't remember where we found those women, but we found them having a ladies' meeting somewhere. I don't remember whether John Clark's mom was home or not. I don't think she was. I think we had to get all the way to Jerry and Sally's before we found them because they were all hanging out together. Maybe it was Wayne and Jackie's. I don't know. Fear swept my life that day. But you know, that's just no longer there. If you just was born again, you don't have to worry about this world. It's going to get bad on this world till the day they come. The people are going to freak totally out. But you and I don't need to be afraid about it.
Yeah,
we're not going to be here for the mark of the beast. We're not going to be here when all hell's broken loose. All the vials of wrath from God in heaven are poured out. We're going to be in heaven. So our mission is from this day till Jesus comes to get every person saved. And teach him to walk in a relationship with Almighty God.
Now,
I'm done talking, not really, but I'm done. And we're going to shut this down. And then, for those of you that's with us on a regular basis, if you want to join me on Zoom, we'll have another conversation for about another 10 minutes. And I'll show you a few details there. But I'm going to come back tomorrow with another teaching that I'm really focusing my teachings. What I want to do is about a 20-minute teaching that helps people see the importance of every day. Good night, Sunday. We love you. God bless you. God bless you, Sophie.
God bless you, sweet.
May the presence of Almighty God be with you.
Amen.
Now watch this. I really want to focus these teachings so that we can help people walk with God. Everything we do has got to be, this is about walking with God. Everything about walking with God. What are you doing? We're walking with God. That's what this is all about. Is we're walking with God. Now, I'm going to use my closing verses tonight. They're the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, I don't look at it much, so I'm going to look at it today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the very last verse of the Bible is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen and amen. May God richly bless you till we see you tomorrow. Same time, same station with the same group of crazy believers. This is what we have to say. Remember this, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.